This is Jay Sekulow. Major decisions coming out on the life issue.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Everybody, welcome to the broadcast. We've got a lot to talk about on this Friday, and especially on, I wanted to spend today talking about the life issue, because we have got a series of cases that from the Supreme Court of the United States all the way down to administrative proceedings at universities. I mean, this is the scope and breadth of the pro-life fight that we're engaged in at the ACLJ. Now, as you know, we have maintained a pro-life position for three decades. I have argued in a number of cases involving the life issue at the Supreme Court of the United States. And right now, there is a case pending. A case has been heard called National Institute of Family and Life Advocates versus Becerra. That case was granted review at the Supreme Court of the United States. It is a case involving crisis pregnancy centers or women health centers. These are organizations that give advice and counsel to women rather than seeking an abortion. Now, we have a case called Living Well Medical Clinic versus Becerra that is also at the Supreme Court of the United States. I'm holding in my hand for our TV and Facebook audiences. This is the brief that we filed in this case. That case is pending this case. So what happens in the Becerra case in the brief, green brief I'm holding, for those of you watching on TV, will impact what happens in our Living Well case. And what that means is that the case has already been argued at the Supreme Court, so we're waiting for a decision. This is a decision that is likely to come down in the next couple of weeks. I mean, it could come down next week, in the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to get a decision. If we're successful in the National Life Institute case, then our case will be granted review. The judgment against our client will be vacated, and the case will be remanded back to the district court for an opinion consistent with the Supreme Court decision, which, if it goes our way, would constitute, and this is, I think, a very, very important thing, would constitute basically a summary reversal. Now, CeCe Hollis, the senior counsel at the ACLJ, she's with me today on this broadcast. And CeCe, you have been litigating these cases. We've been litigating these cases, my goodness, for really almost three decades. I'm trying to think, the first time we had a medical center, a crisis pregnancy center case, was probably in the early 90s, and then I did a whole series of them out of New York.
Yes.
Yeah, so talk to everybody about the importance of what these clinics actually do.
Well, the crisis pregnancy centers are just a great resource for any young lady who finds themselves pregnant and has some concerns, possibly. They do tests. They will help them even after the child is born with car seats. They go through the whole entire process. And of course, they do ultrasounds and everything else. And that is a target that Planned Parenthood does not want going up against them. They're the enemy to Planned Parenthood.
And they really, I mean, like for instance, on the ultrasound issue, they really fight on the ultrasound issue, because they know that when the woman in a crisis situation actually sees the child, that is very compelling evidence to not go forward with an abortion. They fight the ultrasounds, they fight informed consent.
They do. Any time where they think someone who is in a crisis pregnancy situation would have time to think about their decision or actually see that this is a human life, a baby inside them, those are absolutely the centers that they want to go after. And they target them systematically, and they have done that, like you said, for decades.
So we're in court in California. We're also in court in Hawaii. We've got a pro-life case in Illinois and another pro-life case that we're dealing with, a series of them in New York and in North Carolina. So we've got a broad swath of cases on the life issue, and this is something that's really important. Hey, we're going to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. As we talk about the life issue, here's the question on this Friday. How important of an issue is this for you, to stand for the life of the unborn? We'll take your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Take your calls and comments. Also, don't forget, your support of the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org allows us to engage in all of these cases from coast to coast, literally, and our European Center for Law and Justice fighting for life on the European continent. So there's a lot of activity on the life issue for the American Center for Law and Justice. So again, ACLJ.org is a way for you to support the ongoing work of the American Center for Law and Justice. We encourage you to do that. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, especially if you had any experience with Planned Parenthood or these groups. Let us know.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Whether it's the blatant and stated desire of ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, or Iran to wipe Israel from the face of the earth, or the more subtle but equally insidious aim to delegitimize Israel's existence through efforts at UNESCO, the goal is the same, to get rid of Israel. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. The official release date of the book is June 12th, but don't wait. Be among the first to be informed. You can pre-order your copy of Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Order now online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I'm in our media center today with Cece Howell, Senior Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice. She's in here with us. And also in our Washington, D.C. office is Than Bennett. And Than, I want to go with you because we're talking about the life issue. I want to say this again. In California, we have cases that are now at the Supreme Court of the United States. In Hawaii, we have pro-life cases. In Illinois, pro-life cases. In New York, we're defending life. In North Carolina, we're defending life. So understand, this is a big part of the work of the American Center for Law and Justice, a big part of what we do. We're also taking your phone calls and want to know from you how important this life issue is to you at 1-800-684-3110. But then there is a letter that's been signed by members of the United States Congress, and I want you to talk about this. This is deep concern over a report. This came out yesterday by several court cases, state health departments, and testimonials from former Planned Parenthood employees that highlight multiple instances where Planned Parenthood facilities across the country have repeatedly and deliberately failed to report the suspected either sexual abuse of minors in their care or even sex trafficking issues in some cases.
This is incredibly troubling, Jay. I mean, this goes back to the Title X funding that we've talked about so much. You know, Planned Parenthood and other abortion clinics get a lot of that Title X family planning money. But, Jay, it goes to other types of facilities as well. And all of them are obliged to follow a very common sense requirement. And that would be that if they see instances of child abuse, that they report it to the authorities. Jay, it is such a common sense requirement. I mean, for goodness sakes, if you see a child who's being abused, of course you should have an obligation to report that. And Title X for a long time has had that requirement that if you see it, you must report it. But Jay, there are now documented instances of repeated child abuse that Planned Parenthood specifically has not reported. This letter that you referenced, it's signed by 56 members of the U.S. House and the United States Senate. By the way, led by two female members, Vicki Hartzler in the House, Joni Ernst in the United States Senate, referring to the Department of Health and Human Services, these instances of abuse. Jay, so we've talked about the defunding of Planned Parenthood through Title X. This is another level of this. If child abuse is reported or is seen, it must be reported. These members of Congress want HHS to look at these instances and do a full investigation on Planned Parenthood.
So this is something we're encouraging as well. Now, I want to tell you something else, something we don't talk about often, CC, on the broadcast, and that is we did a project. It lasted over the legal research alone lasted well over a year, and that was on the sex trafficking issue, because what you'll find is these sex traffickers, and a lot of them come right up the expressways. So, you know, when we talk about border security, I always say my concern with border security is primarily this issue of sex trafficking, because these sex traffickers come right up from our borders, through our borders, right up to the major expressways. We drafted model legislation that could be implemented in all 50 states on this issue. And it ties into the abortion issue because oftentimes these young girls that are caught up in sex trafficking will end up getting pregnant. And of course, what do these sex traffickers do? They go after abortions. Now, here's the problem. It's not so much the abortion issue there. I mean, that's still an issue for the unborn child, obviously, and the mother and the repercussions that have. But why are we allowing sex traffickers to do this? Now, there's law enforcement activity on this, but not enough. And there needs, and the laws are also are difficult because sometimes it makes the woman, most of the time, Cece, they're not even, I mean, say women, they're girls, caught up in sex trafficking is somehow the defendant in these cases when they're the victim of these cases.
Correct. And that's what we did. We did a legal analysis of all 50 states.
It was a year and a half long project.
It was a long project. Yeah. And we did a very in-depth study and a legal analysis in each 50 state, their laws. And we looked into it because a lot of the laws currently didn't really address sex trafficking. They just weren't ready and prepared to recognize sex traffickers. And then what do you do with them once you find them?
So we prepared, this is actually what we produced called Protecting Innocence Legislative Framework. But I will tell you, I'm holding in my hand, you could not hold in your hand what the volume of material that we produced for this.
That is correct. It was reams and reams of documents. And again, it was analyzing the laws in each state of the United States and trying to give just help and suggestions of how we can stop sex trafficking in the United States of America.
So here's what I want everybody to understand what Cece just said. I mean, this is we're talking about projects that are not just write a memo or even run to court. This is when you're talking about writing laws for 50 states and every there's a lot of nuances in these state laws to try to go after the sex traffickers. And all if you've got a consistent pro-life position, all of this counts. And now you've got the concern, Than, as you mentioned, over Congress. Now, I mean, I know if we say, why are we still funding Planned Parenthood, there's going to be questions here. But we've got a Facebook question that came in. We're taking calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. This came in from Gloria. She said, could this investigation be a catalyst for defunding Planned Parenthood for good? So this is the most frustrating issue we deal with legislatively, which is the defunding of Planned Parenthood. And if I asked everybody on the listening to us right now or watching on TV or whatever media platform you're utilizing, is the issue of defunding Planned Parenthood important for you? Let's take a poll, 1-800-684-3110. Call me and tell me what you think about that one, 1-800-684-3110. But Than, Gloria has a really good question. Where are we on that? And when you get these reports, it sets, again, a message on why there has to be oversight here.
Well, I think that's true, Jay. I think it gives us yet another opportunity to get over the line on defunding Planned Parenthood. Again, I think it's important for people to understand this. There are two main funding streams. One is on the Medicaid side, where they get about 80% of their federal funding. Jay, we were within one vote in the United States Senate of accomplishing that defunding. So this is yet another instance where we could get over that. But look, on the other side, it's a smaller amount, sure, but guess what the Trump administration has done? They have a rule that has been proposed to defund Planned Parenthood of the remaining portion of their federal funds. We are preparing, as you know, Jay, to file a comment in support of that regulation. It's due on July 31st, and our members can add their name to that filing. So I think Gloria is correct. This is another move in the proper direction. And just one more thing, Jay. There's a direct tie to the conversation you were just having with Cece, because all of these efforts, whether they're the cases or the funding efforts, you know where most of this ends up being fought out? It's in state-based litigation. So whether it's the human trafficking or the funding, it usually ends up in state-based litigation. So we follow the fight there as well.
I mean, I look at the report on the litigation we're involved in. I mean, it is literally coast to coast. I mean, and we're going to go over that in the next couple of segments of the broadcast. But let me go ahead and take a phone call. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go to Karen. She's calling from Virginia. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
You're on the air.
I'm calling in response to how important it is to me to do something about the abortion that's going on in America. I think is abhorrent, killing live human beings when they're defenseless, and what Planned Parenthood is doing with the money that they're getting from this, and how it's just so totally wrong. So
I appreciate you calling in on that. Look, this is a long and at times frustrating fight, but let me tell you where the kind of the avenues are on this. There's multiple fights. Than's working on the legislative framework, which is the defunding framework. That's to get the money out of Planned Parenthood. They moved about $65 million out, which is something, but not near enough. But that's all the president could do under his authority as president. So that's one avenue. then the second avenue is the litigation we're involved in. And we're doing litigation. And as I said, we're going to go on that later in the broadcast. But I mean, literally, folks, coast to coast, from the Supreme Court of the United States to administrative hearings at universities. I mean, that's how broad the swath is of what we're covering on the life issue. Then the sex trafficking issue, I tie right in with this because, look, this is a global problem and it's a national problem for the United States of America. And we've got to recognize that the young girls that are caught up in this, to then prosecute them for the prostitution laws, a 16-year-old kid in sex trafficking, is ridiculous. And that's my personal view. And the criminals there are these guys that are running these cartels. That's what this is. And this is – it all ties in. It all ties into the abortion issue. It all ties into the life issue. All of this, Cece, is part and parcel of the same core issue where you've got to defend human dignity and human rights.
You do. And that's the absolute basis of all of this is we have taken life and made it nothing. And so the life of a baby is nothing, and the life of a 15-year-old girl in sex trafficking is nothing. And that's what you see Planned Parenthood do over and over again. They let us know that they don't care about women. They don't care about babies. They care about dollars. And that's the fight, is we have to stand up for life. We have to stand up for its value of a baby and of children that are being sex trafficked.
I will tell you something on the sex trafficking issue. I think if you look at the border security issue, this is a big part of it. Dan, it's not getting the attention I think it should. But the fact is, we know that through our borders and our poorest borders, these sex trafficking cartels, that's what they do. And they go right up these major expressways. I mean, they go right up 65, 75, all the ones that run north to south. And then they can get on the ones that go east to west. So once they're in, it's very easy for them to move around.
About because policymakers are uncomfortable talking about it. I'm just going
to
say it like
but we
it is.
Have
they want to talk
I
about
know the, that. Dan, yes. I'm with you there 100%. I know it's not a comfortable topic, but my goodness, it's an epidemic.
They should be ashamed of themselves if they're too uncomfortable to talk about it, quite frankly, because the drug cartels are a huge problem. But guess what? You cannot separate them from the human trafficking project that they have underway. The drug cartels and the human trafficking go hand in hand. So, look, this is going to come to a head in the United States House of Representatives this month, Jay, and human trafficking has to be at the center of that conversation. Guess what? When it's come up before, it has not been, and that is to their great shame.
All right. We're going to take calls when we come back from the break. Your comments as well on Facebook and Periscope. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll be back with more in just a little bit. Don't forget to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. That your support of the ACLJ allows us to fight this fight for life here in the United States, but also literally around the globe. Offices around the globe, standing up for the unborn, standing up for these women that don't have an advocate. We want to be that advocate. Your support of the ACLJ makes that happen. ACLJ.org. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Whether it's the blatant and stated desire of ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, or Iran to wipe Israel from the face of the earth, or the more subtle but equally insidious aim to delegitimize Israel's existence through efforts at UNESCO, the goal is the same, to get rid of Israel. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. The official release date of the book is June 12th, but don't wait. Be among the first to be informed. You can pre-order your copy of Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Order now online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.
Talking about the life issue today on this Friday, and I wanted to do this because in the second half hour, we're going to get into all the cases we're in, but I want to first talk about the policy of why this is important to us at the ACLJ. Look, I've been fighting this life issue since the 80s, back in the days of Operation Rescue. We have a movie, a pro-life movie, and I'm going to tell you where you can go watch that really talks about all this. But I've been fighting this issue since literally 1987, I think. Was to the Supreme Court, I think, 3 or 4 times on it. So this is an issue that's core to the American Center for Law and Justice and has been since our founding. So this is a big deal for us, a big issue for us. But I also, and we have a great film on this. If you go to aclj.com, look for the movie Abortion Inc., and that gives you a whole understanding of all of this. And I really encourage you to do that. So I come to this in a very personal way because I've defended the life movement for a long time. But what I've seen develop over the last decade, I think it's fair to say, is and my brother-in-law said this years and years ago. He's a radiologist, major hospital in Atlanta. He said, this is probably 30 years ago. He said, the technology is going to get so good that there's going to be no argument that this is a baby. That this idea that this is a bunch of cells is just going to be out the door because the technology, the imaging technology, is going to be so good that there's going to be no dispute. And I've talked to my friend, talked to my friend Dr. Ben Carson, who's now Secretary of HUD. This is when he was a practicing surgeon, a neurosurgeon, that they were doing in utero surgeries at 18, 19, I think 20 weeks, I guess, was kind of the average there. They were doing surgery in utero at 20 weeks. I did the partial birth abortion cases, worked on those at the trial level all the way to the Supreme Court in the United States. So this has been an issue that's been close to us for a long time. And Cece, I know for you, as an advocate, this has been one of your motivating forces why you got involved in public advocacy.
Absolutely, because life is precious and it's worth protecting. As a mother of 2 children, I've personally gone through that, and I see the life, and I can't imagine not protecting my children at every stage of their life. And that includes the moment of conception. They are a living being. And so I'm very passionate about it. And I'm thrilled at all of our advocacy that we do at the ACLJ.
So when we talk about advocacy, I was going to get into cases this segment. I'm going to save that for the next cases. We'll get into the cases. But I want to tell you something. Whether it is at the Supreme Court of the United States or an administrative hearing or putting together a 50-state solution to sex trafficking, which all ties into the life issue and human dignity, defending women in these cases. I keep calling women. A lot of them are young girls. I've got granddaughters. It motivates me now, and it's hard to be more motivated on the life issue than I already was. But when you stare at your young grandchildren and you realize you're defending, and of course, also look, I come to this personally. I saw those imaging of my grandchildren when they were babies, not yet born, not yet. They were unborn babies. I thought imaging was incredible for all 4 of my grandchildren. So, and I know that's just going to become more and more significant. So I'm going to tell you something. We have no option on this issue. Now, it's frustrating when you deal with Planned Parenthood, and it's because, look, when we're fighting at the Supreme Court of the United States, it's not just the state of California. It's NARAL. It's Planned Parenthood. It's all these groups because this is their business, Stan. This is what they do.
Well, it's a huge business.
And their lobby and their efforts in Washington are huge.
They are $1.3 billion in revenue business, Jay, and that is not counting the political side. I want to say that again, $1.3 billion, not counting the political side, and they get almost half of that, more than $500 million from the federal taxpayers. But let me tie it into what you just said, Jay. The technology to this point is at a point where their only option is to deny mothers access to that information, because by the time you realize you're pregnant, you can hear the heartbeat. And usually by the time you go in for your first appointment, somewhere around 9 or 10 weeks, you can see a 3D or even a 4D image of your child. My wife and I have been through this recently. And Jay, if you look at that image, there is not a person on the planet that can deny it's a child. The only way that Planned Parenthood can get a mother to still make a choice for an abortion is if they refuse that mother access to the technology that's available today.
The argument that it's not a life anymore, really, I think the all those undercover videos that came out, all of that, Cece, kind of eliminated that. Now, you were very involved in these. We had a series of crisis pregnancy center cases in New York. We'll get to the substance of the cases in the next half hour. But you've been involved in this. I think it's important for people to understand why it isn't so important. I mean, we got a great comment from one of our viewers on Facebook. I'm gonna pull it up right now. And again, if you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. Isla on Facebook says, "I'm so very grateful for your updates and keeping us informed on all your pro-life work. God bless you all." Well, let me tell you something. That's why I wanted to do it on this Friday. Been a lot of news on other things this week. We've had to deal with Iran. You got North Korea, a whole host of things. But I wanted to spend this Friday on talking about what we're doing in courts around the globe, literally around the globe on this issue, because you've got to realize what we're fighting for here. And it's a generation. Now, I will tell you this. I'm also optimistic that this younger generation is very pro-life. And I think a lot of it's the technology has really helped. But also the messaging has helped. This isn't, you know, it's not against the women. It's to defend the child. Cece?
Yeah, and you're exactly right. The younger generation, they're the ones that have seen their ultrasounds. You know, my children have seen their ultrasound. They see that, wow, that was me as a baby, unborn baby, and here I am now alive. So it doesn't take a big jump to go from an unborn child is a living human being that needs to be protected. And, you know, Planned Parenthood is great at skewing that message because, as you said, they know that they're not going to win that fight anymore. That's why they don't want to show anyone an ultrasound. And that's why they changed the terminology from an abortion or killing a baby to, you know, reproductive rights of the women. It's a woman's right. And they totally change it from abortion and killing a baby. They don't talk about that anymore. It's access to reproductive services.
Yeah. So, you know, we wrote this model legislation for all 50 states. And Than, you're pointing this out, and this is true. Part of the problem was in the sex trafficking issue, they were making the girls the defendant, and the girls were the victim in the sex trafficking issue. And it was
unbelievable.
The focus was completely backwards in the state legislation here. I mean, you're going to prosecute the 15-year-olds for prostitution when they're in sex trafficking? I mean, why don't you go after the person that's put them in that spot? But anyways, that's why we wrote the legislation.
Yeah, it was totally tragic, Jay. You'd have a girl who had been a victim of trafficking, and even policymakers here in Washington, D.C. wouldn't want to appear soft on prostitution. So often that mother, that girl, that young child who had been abused was actually the one that ended up being a defendant in a court of law. That's one of the main reasons we engaged in this model legislation writing, is so that we could get it right on the state level, and then when it percolated up to a federal level, it would be proper as well.
You know, I want to also, can I mention this Gerber story at the end here? You know, Gerber had the Gerber baby for a long time. The current Gerber baby is now in a picture with the first Gerber baby. The first Gerber baby is now 91 years old. Do we have that photo? Yeah, we're putting that up. And the newest Gerber baby is Lucas Warren, is the first Gerber baby to have Down syndrome. He is, little Lucas is the poster child for Gerber. I mean, this is the Gerber baby. And he's being held by the first Gerber baby, who's now a 91-year-old grandmother. And I guess they were in the same area of the country and they were able to work this out. And this young boy has Down syndrome. And the idea that there would be justification to take the life of these children because of a disability, to me, is an outrage. And I think the American people are there and understand that. And hats off to Gerber for doing this. I think it was great and a beautiful baby. And we have to understand that the least among us, or the greatest among us, whoever it is, you defend life. And you especially defend life for those that can't defend themselves. And that's what we're doing at the American Center for Law and Justice. I wanted to end with that Gerber story for this segment of the broadcast because I think it's important to put it in context. All right, we're taking a break. We come back. We got another 30 minutes of the broadcast. You know you can watch us on Facebook, Periscope, or on ACLJ.org. Don't forget, your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. You could do that at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be back with more calls and comments. We come back from the break.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at ACLJ.org.
Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110 because we're talking about life. Why am I talking about life? Well, the life issue, the pro-life issue, is at the heart of the American Center for Law and Justice. And I've been fighting, as our whole team, Cece Howell's with me here in our studios, Than Bennett in our studios in Washington, D.C. And we've been fighting for life. I've been fighting for life for three decades, over 30 years. Been in the Supreme Court numerous times, probably coast to coast. I mean, I've been in more courts on the life issue probably than on religious freedom issues. Or just about the same amount. And I literally, I've been in courts from Wichita, Kansas to Manhattan to California, you name it. I've been there pretty much, San Francisco. And I'm going to tell you, it's a core issue for us. But there is a development here that we think is important. And that is the Congress, and I'm going to go to Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, has issued a very strong rebuke to Planned Parenthood. And also sending a letter to Alex Azar, the Secretary for the Health and Human HHS, Health and Human Services. And let's talk about that for a moment, Than, if we can.
Jay, it's become clear that there are now repeated instances of young children, young girls coming into Planned Parenthood facilities and other abortion clinics where they have been abused, quite frankly. They have been abused, and in some cases repeatedly, by relatives or others who are bringing them in to get an abortion. And Jay, those Planned Parenthood clinics are declining to report those instances of child abuse, and they are instead providing an abortion and then turning that victim back over to the person that is abusing them. These members of Congress have uncovered it. There's 56 members that have signed this letter to the Secretary of Health and Human Services, led by Joni Ernst in the United States Senate, Vicky Hartzler in the United States House. They're demanding that HHS get to the bottom of this because, again, Planned Parenthood has been receiving Title X dollars. One of the plain criteria of Title X dollars, Jay, even if you set the moral issue aside, which you really can't do, but even if you did, it is a matter of federal law that if you take those dollars, you must report child abuse when you see it. It looks like Planned Parenthood has not been following that. There's now going to be an investigation. By the way, Jay, it's on top of the criminal referral that the United States Senate already sent to the DOJ for Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, and we are litigating cases with Planned Parenthood on the West Coast. We're going to be talking about that in the next two segments of the broadcast, among many other cases that we're handling. Cece, I want to turn our attention, as I did in the first half hour, also to the issue of sex trafficking, because this has been something that's been very, very important to us.
Yeah. You know, sex trafficking, the laws just, we're not keeping up with the changing situation. And so, as you have mentioned, then that becomes the girl gets picked up and she's charged with prostitution instead of these law enforcement, you know, people knowing that while she's a victim, she's not the defendant. And so we had to do a 50-state analysis of all the laws and analyze them to show how these laws needed to be changed to keep up with this changing situation. That now we have sex traffickers, that every girl that now is picked up possibly as a prostitute, they might be
the
absolutely,
victim.
Yeah, being held
defendant.
Captive.
Right. The victim, not the defendant. I mean, so we produced just a summary of it, protected innocence legislative framework methodologies for all 50 states to put in place laws that go after those that are putting young girls and women into sex trafficking. And that's where border security, I say this because, you know, I know I get some flack for this because I'm in favor of comprehensive immigration reform. I think that's my view. I think you're not going to deport 12 million people from the United States. I think we need to figure out, you know, work permitting situations, get these people producing tax revenue for the country and participate in our country. We're a nation of immigrants. But I'll tell you what I don't want coming to the United States, and I know you don't either. No matter what your position is on other things, you don't want sex traffickers coming into the United States. You don't want them in any country. But we got to worry about, you know, and what I can do on the laws here is what we can do here. And we've done that. And we worked with Shared Hope International, and they are working to get all 50 states to pass this. And again, so that the young girls are not the victim of it. They're the victim, not the defendant. And that's where these laws were backwards. The
right.
Girls were the defendant.
Absolutely.
I mean, we only got 30 seconds here, Cece.
Yes, and that's why it is very important, because we had to change the thinking. We just didn't ever think like this before. I guess we didn't think it was going to happen in the United States. When we talk about sex trafficking, it's overseas. But it's not. It's here in our land, and we need to stop it.
All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're also going to be joined by our lawyers talking about litigation, coast to coast, from the Supreme Court of the United States to administrative hearings. The ACLJ heavily, heavily involved in litigation. We'll talk about that at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. And again, support the work of the ACLJ, aclj.org. We'll get your comments coming in on Facebook and Twitter as well, and also on Periscope. Back with more in just a moment.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Whether it's the blatant and stated desire of ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, or Iran to wipe Israel from the face of the earth, or the more subtle but equally insidious aim to delegitimize Israel's existence through efforts at UNESCO, the goal is the same, to get rid of Israel. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. The official release date of the book is June 12th, but don't wait. Be among the first to be informed. You can pre-order your copy of Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Order now online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're spending this Friday on the life issue, something I've been litigating for 30 years, over 30 years, three decades. Jeff Surtees is a senior counsel of the ACLJ, and he has also been dedicating a lot of his legal work over the years to the life issue. We, of course, religious freedom, life issue, core work with the ACLJ, but the life issue is a big part of it, and we've got literally cases coast to coast. You know, of course, we're all waiting for a decision coming out any day, Jeff, on the cases against Xavier Becerra, the state attorney general, on the issue of these crisis pregnancy centers. So that decision, we're going to find out in the next probably 3 weeks, I'm sure in the next 3 weeks, and we may have a summary, what I call a summary reversal, basically, if the case is successful, a GVR, grant, vacate, and remand. But that's at the Supreme Court of the United States. But you've got, we've got hearings coming up in weeks here. One case involving the city of Inglewood, New Jersey, with a buffer zone law, and we've been litigating these buffer zone laws for, I mean, a long, long time, and you would think, why are those still going on? But nevertheless, they are. Give us the latest on, first of all, what do you see as the big cases that the ACLJ is handling right now for the life issue, as you view it?
The big cases being handled by the ACLJ, I think, these days are involving those people and those entities that are on the front lines of the pro-life cause. And I'm talking about sidewalk counselors and our client in the city of Englewood case that you just mentioned. And I'm talking about crisis pregnancy centers, yep, such as our California clients out in California that are being forced and told and instructed by the state of California to post a referral for abortion, which, of course, flies in the face of their very mission. So I think when you look at those people that are on the front lines of saving lives, saving unborn lives, of proclaiming the gospel of life, we're talking crisis pregnancy centers, sidewalk counselors, doctors and nurses, and those attacks by governments and private entities against those people are just never stopping. And so we're in court defending those people to be able to stand up for what they believe in with respect to the sanctity of human life.
You know, the interesting aspect of this is you talk about the sidewalk counselor. I mean, look at what Jeff just said. The sidewalk counselors, these are just offering peaceful literature distribution to counsel women going into abortion clinics. We have that aspect. We have nurses and doctors on the front lines of that. We're going to talk about some of those cases. But let's talk about the City of Inglewood case first. And before we get into the City of Inglewood case, though, let me go to C.C. Howell on this, because I think it's important. Yeah, look, and you could address this better than any of us can, and that is a woman in this situation with an unexpected or unplanned or whatever phrase you want to use, pregnancy. We used to call them crisis pregnancy centers because it was viewed as kind of like a crisis the woman, right, was facing, and it is. now they're called women health centers, offering an alternative to abortion should be just not very controversial, but it is.
It shouldn't be controversial. It should be what everyone fights for, because a woman should make an informed decision. She should know exactly what she's deciding. And if she actually decides that she's going to kill her baby, she needs to know that that's a baby. She needs to know that it's going to be ripped apart. She needs to know those facts. And that's what Planned Parenthood does not want you to know. That's why they go after these counselors. That's why they go after the crisis pregnancy centers, because they don't want information getting to these women who are pregnant.
Yeah. So, all right. So now let's go to a specific case. So let's talk about the Turco versus City of Englewood. So we're in federal court on that. Jeff, what's the status, first of all? What's happened so far?
Sure. Yeah, Jay, we filed a lawsuit on behalf of a sidewalk counselor named Gerald Turco against the City of Englewood's abortion buffer zone that they set up in late 2013 in order to deal with some raucous, boisterous pro-life protesters. Well, Gerald Turco does not engage in that type of pro-life protest activity. She does, as you suggested earlier, hand out quietly literature. She hands them religious items. She speaks quietly, face-to-face with them, trying to let them know what it is that they're choosing to do should they go through with the abortion, trying to give them all the options, trying to give them all the facts. But so Englewood passed a law saying you cannot engage in any type of speech activity within 8 feet of the entrance of an abortion clinic. Well, we filed a lawsuit on behalf of a sidewalk counselor, and Jay, we obtained summary judgment in favor of our client. It was a complete and total ruling in favor of our client on not just the federal claims, but on the state constitutional claims as well that we sued the City of Englewood over. Well, the City of Englewood decided not to take this lying down, so they have appealed that decision to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals. That case has been fully briefed, and now the case will be argued on July 10th. And hopefully the Third Circuit will follow the teachings and the instructions that the Supreme Court set forth in the McCullen v. Coakley decision and find, as the district court did, that this abortion buffer zone goes too far in limiting and in restricting speech. If the City of Englewood wants to go after people who are violating laws against harassment and so forth, then they should go against those people for violating those laws. They shouldn't punish people like our client, Gerald Turco, for quietly, peacefully engaging in pro-life speech.
You know, Jeff, it reminds me of the overreact during the Operation Rescue days, and rather than going for trespass claims, they brought in the Ku Klux Klan Act. I mean, exactly. This was, you know, this was absurd. And, of course, it took two trips to the Supreme Court, but we won that. And the court said that opposition to abortion is not discrimination against women. And I think this is really important, Cece, for people to understand. I want you to talk about this, because when I argued that the last case on the pro-life utilization of federal statutes, which the court said you can't do on that, which was a good win for us. But they made the statement that the Supreme Court said opposition to abortion does not constitute discrimination against women. And I think that was, I thought that was a crowning moment in our fight for life at the Supreme Court of the United States to get a decision that says that. But that is, in fact, the case. Opposition to abortion is not discrimination against women. Quite the opposite.
Right. And I think that's because Planned Parenthood has done such a great job at trying to say that, you know, this abortion is a right. It's a right, a woman's right to kill a baby. But they don't want her to be informed. And they don't want her to necessarily have, you know, clean even operating conditions or any of that. They don't care about that. So you have to go around that and see what they're really looking at. They don't care about a woman. They care about money. If you really cared about a woman, you'd want her to know what she's getting into.
What would you tell, if you were a sidewalk, I know you're a lawyer, but I know this is an issue that you've got a lot of passion over. What would you tell a woman that was walking and seeking abortion?
I think she just needs to take time to think about her decision. And then this literature that they give out, it shows the baby and the formation of a baby from the very first week on. And I'm telling you, when over 80% of women who see ultrasounds or see pictures of a baby, they change their mind about having an abortion. And so if you can just get information into their hand in a loving way, because it's not condemnation, it's not hate. This is love for these people, that we want to get them information and let them know what they're doing, that they're killing a baby. And this choice will haunt them for the rest of their lives.
So, Jeff, you know, we talk about, Cece mentioned the ultrasound. Was it 80% you said?
80%, over 80%,
so,
yes.
But we have to fight for the ultrasound legislation's constitutionality.
That's exactly right. I mean, if you know, the other side wants to talk about a fully informed idea of what it is they're doing, but that's just smoke and mirrors. If they were truly interested in a woman having all the knowledge and all the options available to them before they go through an abortion, then they should be supporting ultrasound legislation, which allows the woman to see exactly what it is that she is wants that she is asking a doctor to terminate. And unless she knows exactly all those underlying facts and can see that living, breathing fact before her eyes, then she's not making a fully informed decision. But true to form, Planned Parenthood does not like these because they don't want a fully informed woman. They want an ignorant woman. They want someone who is going to put blinders on to reality and make a choice based on ideology and not make a choice based on facts. And the other thing about these pro-life pregnancy centers, Jay, that we're representing, you know, they not only share with women the options that are available, they say to them that if you choose to have your child, if you choose to give your child up for adoption, we are here to support you. We can provide you with diapers, baby bottles, instructions on how to use these. We can set you up with other organizations and entities that will help you if you don't think you have the resources to care for this child yourself. So it's not just a question of these the pro-life pregnancy centers saying, please choose life. It's here, choose life, and we will help you raise that life, take care of that life, and educate that life.
But yet
what they are doing, these crisis pregnancy centers, is just phenomenal.
It is.
And yet they are under attack by governments from coast to coast, and it's really sad.
Well, we've defended them. CeCe, you were involved in some of the Second Circuit. We defended them successfully, and then the next thing you know, the Attorney General for the state was going after them.
Yeah, that's right. That was our case in New York where we basically won. It was the same thing where they were compelling speech. They were making these crisis pregnancy centers refer for abortions.
Yep.
And we win that case in the Second Circuit, which was great.
Yep.
And then you see the Attorney General start going after them.
On state claims.
Absolutely, because they're not willing to let this go.
All right, we've got a lot more to discuss when we come back from the break. We'll take some comments as well at 1-800-684-3110. You can get them in on Facebook and Periscope. Be joined by some of our other lawyers. Got a lot to talk about as we talk about the life issue. And again, your support of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org makes all of this possible. And I want to encourage you to do that right now. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. And you know what that does? That allows us to have our lawyers like CeCe Heil and Jeff Surtees and others around the United States, but also around the world, standing up for those who cannot speak out for themselves, whether it's on the sex trafficking issue or on the abortion issue. We're front and center on this, defending life. ACLJ.org for your support. ACLJ.org. And of course, we'll try to take some calls. We come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Whether it's the blatant and stated desire of ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, or Iran to wipe Israel from the face of the earth, or the more subtle but equally insidious aim to delegitimize Israel's existence through efforts at UNESCO, the goal is the same, to get rid of Israel. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. The official release date of the book is June 12th, but don't wait. Be among the first to be informed. You can pre-order your copy of Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Order now online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I decided this Friday we were going to talk about cases and the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. Not headline news necessarily, though we did get headline news because of a joint letter from Congress. Let me get Than Bennett to, again, if you're just joining us late in the broadcast here. Than, we got 57 members of Congress not too happy with Planned Parenthood.
Well, and rightly so. It looks like Planned Parenthood has been declining to report child abuse, just very simply, Jay. So these 56 members have referred to the Department of Health and Human Services. They want the investigation because, remember, Planned Parenthood is required under federal law to report child abuse, and they haven't been doing it. And, Jay, I'm so glad that you're doing this to tie in the work that I largely do for us on this end, on the legislative and regulatory work, with the work that all of you, you and CeCe and Frank and Jeff, do on the litigation front. If you don't fight this from beginning to end, Jay, you lose. That's why we engage at the beginning of the process, in the middle of the process, and then at the end as well.
Dan just mentioned Frank Mannion. Frank Mannion, senior counsel at the ACLJ. Frank and I have been doing pro-life cases since we were young men, Frank.
A long time, Jay.
Now we're grandpas.
That's right.
Or pawpaws in my case. I don't know what you get called, but I'm pawpaw.
Pop.
Oh, there you go. Okay, there we go. So anyways, let's talk about the life issue because this is something that got you into this work all those years ago. And I mean, literally, Frank and I have been doing this since when, Frank? The late 80s, early
90s? Mid-80s, late 80s, yeah.
Yeah, mid-80s. Yeah. Mid-80s, that sounds like 100 years ago.
It's
been a front issue. In your view right now, we've got cases, and we've talked about this, from sidewalk counselors to medical professionals to nurses and doctors to crisis pregnancy centers to the cases on the West Coast dealing with those undercover videos. What do you see? We got the case pending at the Supreme Court of the United States right now on the crisis pregnancy centers. We'll find out about the disposition of that one pretty soon. As you look at all of this, what is it telling you on the life issue right now?
Jay, the struggle continues. We're still fighting, as you pointed out, some of the same issues that you and I fought back in the 80s, but the other side is relentless, and we have to be just as relentless. There's a new development, though, that I haven't heard mentioned yet, and I want to bring it to everybody's attention. At least since January, the Department of Health and Human Services has created a Conscience and Religious Freedom Division, which we are working hand-in-hand with. We've already filed 6 separate complaints for people with that department. You know, there are a number of federal statutes which are not enforceable by individuals. There's no so-called private right of action. And for years, it's been frustrating because we know that there's something called the Church Amendment and the Weldon Amendment that protect medical professionals who take a pro-life stance, but we've really not been able to do anything about it because the HHS bureaucracy has not been interested in it. Well, they're interested in it now, and I can tell you that we are working as kind of a two-pronged approach now in many of these cases where we file litigation, raising various causes of actions that are enforceable by individuals, but at the same time, the Department of Health and Human Services is now getting in on our side. And I think we've got to take advantage of this, and that's what we're doing right now in at least 6 cases that are pending.
That's great. And let's talk about, I don't want to get into the specifics on some of the medical professionals representing because some of those are in administrative proceedings,
right,
but others in court. But you have gone to jury trials. I mean, people don't realize this because it's been a while since we've talked about this. You've handled cases to the jury for nurses that were compelled to violate their conscience and got damages, including punitive damages.
That's right. I mean, you know, you look at public opinion polls, and they're fairly evenly split on the pro-life, pro-choice issue. But you can make, I think, a compelling argument, and we've done it to juries who weren't necessarily pro-life people, that the interest of fairness and pluralism demands that we allow people to not only hold a pro-life view, but bring it into the workplace. We get it. It's not absolute. There has to be something called reasonable accommodation, and those views can't always be reasonably accommodated. But most of the time they can, if a fairness and a pluralistic approach is applied. And that's what we try to bring to people in these cases.
So, CeCe, when you look at the scope and the nature of the work, and I know this is something, as you say, I said you're passionate about, what sticks out to you in your head as you kind of, your brain, as you look at all of this matter that we're handling? I mean, like Frank said, whether it's conscience clause, whether it's nurses, doctors, crisis pregnancy centers, individuals involved in sidewalk counseling and advocacy. I mean, it is a broad swath of the pro-life movement.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm just grateful that I got to join alongside of you because you really have been a hero for life for decades. You have, and that's amazing. And I just think Planned Parenthood and the pro-choice movement has such a plan on how to keep hitting and keep fighting, and they have litigation strategy. And if we don't have pro-life attorneys having that same kind of plan and litigation strategy, we're going to lose this battle.
Yeah.
So we need to remain engaged. We need to keep the fight. We need to keep telling our listeners what the fight and the battle is so they can keep praying and supporting.
So let me go, because Cece just mentioned the importance of the in-court battle. But I think you need to stress to folks that are watching this broadcast what you're up against in Washington with the abortion lobby.
Well, it's an enormous lobby. I mean, we talked about their revenue of $1.3 billion. That's not the political side, Jay, but it's almost impossible to walk down the street in Washington, D.C. without running into their volunteers who are here pushing legislators to continually advance the abortion agenda. And, Jay, it directly impacts what you were just talking about with Cece. I mean, Planned Parenthood aborts more than 320,000 babies every day, and less than 2,000 get referred out for adoptions, Jay. And look, here's why I'm optimistic. If you give a mother access to information about what is growing inside of her, and then you tell her there are families lined up across the country who are desperate to give your child a home, to love your child, that woman chooses life almost every single time. So I would just close with this, Jay. We are in a moment of optimism. The forces here on the abortion side are gigantic. They are very well funded. But when we engage and when we tell the truth, guess what? We win.
So let's talk about winning a little bit here. And you got to win. We talked to Jeff about the Turco case. You've got a case that you've just filed. We're now against the Indiana University. Let's talk about that one a little bit.
Right. We represent a nurse, Jay, who applied for a job. Actually, she was already doing the job and was applying for it on a permanent basis. And in the interview, she found, to her surprise, that she was being grilled about an article that she had published on the Internet in which she described how she had changed from being a pro-choice nurse to a pro-life nurse based totally on science and physiology and medicine. She was grilled about the article in the interview. One of the other interviewers was shocked that it was even brought up. But the person who ultimately made the decision, turns out, is also on the staff of the local Planned Parenthood. And this is the kind of, you know, real-life, rubber meets the road facts that we have to deal with in these cases. And if it wasn't for us doing these cases, I'm not sure they'd be done. You know, they're not always easy cases. There are some times when you have to, you know, there are facts going both ways. But this is the kind of case that we have to bring in order to protect the people on the front lines like this nurse.
So where are we in that case? Are you in federal court?
Yeah, we just filed. We just filed.
So, I mean, you're talking about the front lines. When there's another case we have, we won't even discuss, but involving other medical professionals, including physicians. We had those before.
There's a case out of New England, too, Jay, involving a nurse, and this is the most egregious one that I've ever come across. And Jeff and I met with her about a month ago. I'm not going to give too many of the details, but this is a nurse who was coerced into actually participating in an abortion, even though she was on the opt-out list in this particular hospital. This is one of these that we're working with the Department of Health and Human Services on. It's probably going to end up in litigation as well. But this is the kind of thing that happens. And it happens as long as the other side thinks they can get away with it. And I see it as our mission to make sure that they don't get away with it.
Now, that's a great way to end the broadcast. I want to thank everybody for participating today. And I want to encourage our audience to do this, to stand with the ACLJ as we stand for life. We, by the way, did not even scratch the surface of the cases we're handling. I mean, we probably hit 1/10, maybe?
Maybe.
Maybe. Of what we're actually handling. Just to give you kind of a view of what we've got. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. ACLJ.org. So I encourage you to do that. ACLJ.org. Your support of the American Center for Law and Justice keeps us front and center in the fight for life here in the United States, but also around the globe. Let me encourage you to do that. Also, our book is out. Jerusalem will be available next Tuesday at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. We encourage you to acquire a copy of that as well. Have a great weekend. We're going to keep you posted on any developments, and you do that by staying engaged with us on social media at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at Logan Sekulow, at Than Bennett. Even anybody doesn't like when I say it, I just did. And we're going to keep you engaged on issues as they develop during the weekend. Have a great weekend, everybody.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at ACLJ.org.